The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 5th, 2018.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my engineer, my co-producer, and my best friend, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
What a beautiful, beautiful day here in Sonoma County. You know, this month is November, and it's the month of Thanksgiving. And I want my listeners to know that I have made this month my month of gratitude. So every day I get up and I give myself a little pep talk and tell myself what I have to be thankful for. And this morning I got up and said, thank you that I'm on the radio and that I'm on the station that keeps it alive and keeps us going. So a special shout out to all my listeners who are out there listening, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you. I have three special guests with me in the studio this morning. Joining me in the studio is Caitlin Quinn and Zach Neely from the Verity Rape Crisis Center, and we'll be talking about how to talk about consent and sexual violence to your children. It's just an amazing, amazing topic. They're actually going to be doing a workshop on that in the downtown library on November the 12th, and we will be talking about that. Also joining me on the phone from Praxis Institute, it will be Georgia Kelly, and she will be talking about effective communication and conflict management skills, something we all need desperately now. And interesting what's happening on November 10th in the city of Sonoma. Well, a very, very busy weekend. I attended the March Rise Up and Make Some Noise, and the best way to describe this event was through the wisdom of an 11-year-old young girl by the name of Josephine Borgia. And it's B-O-U-R-G-E-A, Borgia. Excuse me out there. I know they're listening if I mispronounce your name, but her first name was Josephine, and she is 11 years old. And this is how she described the event. You know, she found out that I was on the radio, and she came up to my booth and she said, I got to show you this. And she had woman, W-O-M-E-N, W-O-M-A-N, all taken care of. And here's what she said. This is what she felt about the Rise Up and Make Some Noise gathering that we had. W, warrior. O, original. M, motivational. A, angel. And N, never give up. So she thinks of this gathering of women as a gathering of original warriors who are actually angels doing their job and who never, never give up and really are motivating us all. So thank you so much, Josephine. I mean, it's these young women, these young girls, to be honest with you, that give me hope for the future. You know, that they have such thought. I mean, when I was 11 years old, I never thought of this stuff. And I just think it's amazing that their consciousness is growing. So once again, thank you, Josephine, B-O-U-R-G-E-A, age 11 here in Sonoma County. Thank you so much for giving me this wonderful, wonderful piece of information and thought about the whole women's movement. Warrior, original, motivational, angel, and we will never give up. I mean, in 2020, we're going to be celebrating 100 years since we got the vote. And it was 70 years before that that we had to protest, go to jail, do everything that we could to be able to vote. And the whole idea behind women voting was hopefully that one day we would stop wars. Oh, God, wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, I also want to remind folks that the Sonoma County Gazette is on the streets and pretty interesting articles. And of course, I'm very proud. I write for the Gazette and I write the Santa Rosa Snippets. We got some great articles in there and a deeper understanding of how to vote and how important your vote is and what to do with those absentee ballots. And also we have Radio Land, which tells the story and all kinds of information about our own KBBF here in Santa Rosa. So that's a lot to think about. Uh-oh, wait a minute. The pumpkin fairy godmother is here. Oh, my goodness. Pumpkin Fairy Godmother.
Hello,
good morning.
Elaine. Yes, the Pumpkin Fairy Godmother is here, and we are so grateful for you and everything you do for our community and this program. Thank you for your work.
Well, I understand that you have a very, very special blessing for us.
I do. And I'm excited, too, about the young girls coming up in this time. And I want to send a special wish to the children of our nation and the world to keep doing that work and to be safe. And the adults will keep you as safe as possible. And to everyone out there listening, I send very special wishes for our well-being. Remember, you become what you meditate on, so turn your attention to that which you know in your heart is full of love.
Well, can you give us a little example of maybe a little meditation that people like? I'm just thinking, I am love and I'm giving love. I mean, anything special, any special way, special words around that?
Well, wishes are like little seeds, you know, you plant. And one thing you can do, and when I'm out there giving wishes all over the town, I ask people to stop for a moment and take a breath and really see in their mind, like a movie, like a photograph, see their wish, see their blessing, see what they want to create, and actually really take a moment and visualize it, because we all know that if you can see it in your mind, you can really make it happen. And then truly in your heart, place the wish deep, deep, deep in your heart and be still with it. And the answers will come to you how to make it happen. First, you really need to create it authentically in your body, mind, and then miracles and mysterious ways of the working of the universe helps bring the right places and people to you. You're a magnet.
Well, Fairy Godmother, Pumpkin Fairy Godmother, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for that special blessing, and I hope to have you on again and again to help us get through these troubled times. So thank you so much, and blessings back to you.
Thank you, Elaine. I love you. I love everyone out there. Great and beautiful wishes to you.
Thank you, my love. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that just gave me the chills. I mean, we need more of that. We need more of that. And, folks, a little secret. You'll know we're going to put it on Women's Spaces, www.womenspaces.com. We'll identify our fairy godmother here. And thank you so much for that special blessing. Well, I have a few announcements here that I want to share with folks. This is a very important announcement. I found out about that yesterday. You know, in Roseland here in Sonoma County, they started a library for children, which is very exciting. And now they're thinking about cutting the funds for it. Now, come on, folks. You know, we have money for our libraries for our children. No, no, no. We just passed a bill from what I remember. So there's a special meeting going on, and it's the Sonoma County Library Commission is going to meet tonight at 100 Santa Rosa Avenue, room 110. That's on, 100 Sonoma Avenue. That's our city council building. And it's going to be happening starts at 6:30. They're going to have an open mic. I recommend people come and say, no shutting down of the library in the Roseland area. And I mean, I've read motivational book after motivational book, and 90% of the time, these people have been down and out and have gone to the library and found some special book that really changed their whole life around. You know, I remember when I was a young girl, going to a library was so special. You know, you had the teachers or you had the librarian that was reading stories for you. You had all these books. I mean, it's just amazing, and it's a way to get the kids out of the house. You know, you want to get them away from those computers and into books. I mean, it helps your mind, body, and spirit. Very, very important. So I really encourage people to go to the Roseland meeting about the library. It's going to be happening tonight at 6:30. I'm going to try to make it. Although there's something going on at Gaia's Garden. I mean, everything is so conflicted, but hopefully people will show up. So that's going to be tonight at 110 Rosa Avenue in room 110, and the time is 6:30. And folks, please, 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 please show up. You know, another thing I want to do is a special shout out to all the people who showed up at the Family for Families event. It was amazing. There should have been thousands of people out there. You know, people don't realize, you know, there's an old saying that I've kind of lived my life by. There but poor fortune go you or I. You know, you may be sitting in your home nice and comfy, you know, but at one time your ancestors were fleeing their country to come over here to the United States. Why? Why did my grandmother come here? Because she lived in this cozy atmosphere? No. They were killing people. They were killing children in the street, and the United States became her refuge. And when she told me the one thing that she would ever talk about, because she would never talk about the old country, but she would always tell me, when I saw the Statue of Liberty, she said, I threw myself and I kissed the ground. What an experience, you know. And she came to the United States for refuge, for asylum, and then contributed as much as all the refugees who have come over here to this country. I mean, we have built a country. The only natives are the Native Americans. Everybody else just came over. And we have to recognize that. So a shout out to all those folks that did that. And also, my friend Emerald from Occupy Sonoma County. I love her. She does such great work. And they're going to be having a film this Thursday, The Reluctant Radical. That's going to be at the Arlene Francis Center on 99 6th Street in Santa Rosa. And I think it's very important that you come out and support them. It's going to be sponsored by Occupy Sonoma County. And the name of the film is going to be, like I said, The Reluctant Radical. That's going to be on this Thursday, November 8th, from 7 to 9 at the Arlene Francis Center. And like I say, we list everything on our website. So if you didn't have a pencil or pen and you all of a sudden said, oh, I didn't get that, you just go to www.womensspaces.com. Well, lots going on in our world. I'm just so excited that we had that fairy on. I mean, I just think it's just wonderful. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break now, and the song I picked, the reason I picked this song is by Betsy Rose and the Women's Song Chorus. It's called I Ain't Afraid. And the reason that I picked it is because lately God has become political. You know, all of a sudden Jesus, who's supposed to be the Prince of Peace, has become the God of War. I mean, I don't understand what's going on. So I thought I would play this song before I brought on Caitlin Quinn and Zach Neely from Verity Rape Crisis Center. You know, they're going to talk about how to talk to your children and all that other good stuff around sexual abuse and also consent. But I think it's very important when we listen to this song, we start thinking of what are they doing? They're manipulating something so precious, like a higher power or God or whatever your religious belief is. And look at the hatred that's coming out. I mean, people walking into churches and synagogues and killing people. I mean, come on, in the name of what? They say their God is better than your God. Well, hey, listen, I don't know if there's a God. All I know is I live in the middle of a universe that I don't even quite understand. So there's got to be a force greater than ourselves. But there's no right God or wrong God. And some of the things we're doing in this name of this entity that all of us have such a different opinion about is very sad. So let's listen to I Ain't Afraid, sung by Betsy Rose and the Women's Song Chorus. And when we come back, we'll be having a very interesting conversation.
Bible, I ain't afraid of your Torah, I ain't afraid. you do in the name of your God. Rise up and see a higher story. Free up from the gods of war and glory. Watch out for the threats of purgatory. The spirit of the wind will make a killing off a sin and Satan. I ain't afraid of your Yahweh.
Well, that's a good one. I ain't afraid. You know, the other side of fear is faith, faith and trust. We have to have faith and trust that we are working things out, and it's going to be better and better as we move along. And remember, tomorrow, November 6th, that's the big day. Everybody goes to the polls. And I really want to encourage my listeners who have those absentee ballots in their hand, get them in today. Don't wait till tomorrow to go to the polls. Either mail them or go down to the Register of Voters here in Sonoma County or in your area. Very important that you get those absentee ballots in so they can be counted. Well, for you just joining us, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinion of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And without further ado, I want to introduce my two special guests in the studio with me, Caitlin Quinn and Zach Neely from Verity Sonoma County's Rape Crisis Center. Welcome. Welcome, Zach. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me here.
Well, it's a pleasure, and welcome, Caitlin.
Awesome to be back. Thanks for having us.
Caitlin is a regular. I love having her on, and they're doing so much great work at the Rape Crisis Center. And, you know, Zach, I really want to welcome you. You know, this is basically a women's show, but every once in a while, a man comes on the scene that is really doing some good work. I mean, I had Arlene France's son on because, of course, she's not here anymore. And I also had men involved in nonviolence, mm-hmm. which is very important. And now having you, that you're going to be helping us talk about consent and sexual violence. And what to tell your young boys. And I think that's so important, very timely. So thank you for your courage of coming on.
Thank you. Very grateful.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about each one of you. Is that okay?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Caitlin Quinn was raised in Sonoma County and attended UC Berkeley, where she became involved in anti-sexual violence work and was one of 31 students who filed a Title X complaint against the university in 2013. Zach Neely was raised in Texas and got his JD from Fordham University in New York. What does JD stand for?
Law degree.
Law degree from from Fordham University in New York. He practiced in New York and California before joining the Verity team. Both Zach and Caitlin are both Petaluma residents right now, working at Verity in Santa Rosa, serving all of Sonoma County. Zach provides prevention education throughout the county to kids, teens, and adults in classrooms and community groups all over Sonoma County. Okay, too. Caitlin handles all of Verity's communication work while supporting the administration side of things. The whole Verity team is passionate about ending sexual violence in Sonoma County and all over the world. They will both be doing the workshop on November 12th. Anything you'd like to add? How about you, Caitlin? Anything you'd like to add, or you, Zach?
Not particularly. We've been trying to get out the word about all of the events we're doing and trying to be less Santa Rosa-centric while still serving everyone in Santa Rosa.
So where else are you reaching out to?
We had our first session of this workshop in Petaluma, and it was well attended by Petaluma parents. And we're hoping after this to go more North County. We do a lot of work in the Sonoma Valley, which we see there's often a lack of support to that area, and we've definitely worked in Annalee and other areas of Sebastopol as well.
Well, tell me, both of you, let's start with you, Zach. What is your motivation? I mean, here you come from working in the law field in New York, and now you are in Verity, which is a rape crisis center working on educated young children. What motivated you, and how did all that come about?
I think one big part of my motivation when I was working in New York, I worked in family court doing abuse and neglect cases, and seeing that damage, I wanted the opportunity to try and prevent it. Our department is prevention education, and to try and provide services and help things never happen. And it can be one of the most important things that people can do. And you know, specifically the kind of seminar we're talking about on the 12th and just helping parents. There's so much information out there. These issues are out there. But there are silos in our society that don't get discussed as much. There's not the same plan as for other things. And I think parents have a lot of fear and they have a lot of concern, but not a lot of help. And, you know, we know from going and doing lessons in schools, children are already thinking about this. They're thinking about it from very young ages. And by the time they're in middle school and high school, they're thinking about this all the time. They're ready to talk about it. And, you know, the parents can really bridge that gap with them if they have a little support.
Well, you know, it's so interesting when I hear you talk. You know, I was born in 1940. So, I mean, talking about anything that had to do with sex or violence was a big no-no. I mean, one of the things we used to hear is two things you don't talk about. You know, religion and sex.
Yeah.
And then money also. I mean, the three things that really motivate our lives we're not supposed to talk about. Yep. Caitlin, how about you? What got you motivated into this? And what is it your part that you play when the two of you go out and do these information things?
Yeah, I mean, I went to these schools, and I call myself a recently recovered teenager, being in my 20s. So, I mean, I know...
Hey, I'm in my 70s. I still haven't recovered.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I know how teens think. I work a lot with teens in my free time. And what Zach's saying is totally right. They want to talk about sex. They know about all these things. And if parents aren't talking to their kids, someone else is. Like, I think a lot of us, especially in the United States, think that if we don't talk about something, we don't have to deal with it. But even if you don't talk to your kids about sex and sexual violence, that doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Well, you know, the old saying, it just came to my mind, ignorance is bliss.
Exactly.
Well, folks, let's look what's going on out of our state of ignorance. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of violence and horrors going on in this world that is just really, it's really important. And one of the things that you brought out, too, is the fact that parents are afraid to talk about these things. They don't know how to go about it. Mm-hmm. And there's an uncomfortableness about this. And you know, it's interesting when I was playing that song. I ain't afraid. I think of how religion plays a part with the sexuality. It's almost like it's a bad thing, and they suppress it so bad that it's almost an anxiety about it. So talk a little bit about why, a little bit deeper of why you think it's important that parents do have these dialogues, and why it's important that they go out into organizations like yourself and attend workshops. Why don't you start, Zach?
Well, sure. I think that part of it is I'm about to turn 40, and I believe that I'm pretty much the last generation where there was any restriction on the information I could learn about sex, where my parents could actually kind of realistically believe that I hadn't heard things, right? And now, if you have a 13-year-old, 14-year-old, 15-year-old, be honest with yourself. Think, how much have they heard about sex? How much have they seen about sex? They have the internet, right? And so it's just a question of who's telling them, not a question of are they learning about it. And wouldn't you rather it be you that tells them? And so you have an opportunity to share your values about important things with your child. And I don't think it's enough to just tell them what not to do, because that's going to get mixed in, and it's not as powerful as seeing how people act. And if you really want to influence their behavior, you can tell them, you know, these are our values. You know, this is how you treat people. You know, this is important. And then you know that you are having some influence on them instead of whatever they're Googling.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, you know, it's very interesting. One of the things that happened, particularly after the Kavanaugh discussions that were going on, that the big thing came out, parents should be fearful for their boys.
Oh,
you know, and in my mind, when I first heard that, I thought, what an ignorant statement. Instead of saying be fearful, they should say it's time to really sit down with your young boys and your young girls and talk about these things, talk about their responsibility and how everybody works together. Would you agree with that? How about you, Kayla? Would you agree with
absolutely.
That idea?
And I think with younger kids, we can start talking about things like consent and respect without talking about sex. Like, no one here is saying, talk to your 3-year-old about sexual violence. But, you know, you can teach them consent. If they don't want to give you a hug or a high five, that's okay. That's not the end of the world. and helping them enforce their bodily autonomy and their boundaries. You can start young and normalize the idea of consent and respect, and then you don't get in these situations where someone's like, oh, well, I was 17. How was I supposed to know? I shouldn't put my hand over someone's mouth when I'm, like, grinding on top of her in her bed.
But, and just as far as they say, you're like, oh, I'm worried about boys now. Like, the reality is about 1 in 6 men will be the victim of sexual assault. Young men, boys, are much more at risk of being victims than they are of being falsely accused. If you're worried about boys, you need to worry about their protection from people who would sexually abuse them. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're just in another wave of allegations and information. You know, the grand jury report that came out in Pennsylvania about what was going on in churches there. A lot of those victims are young men. So if you're worried about young men, look at the reality that they're facing and find ways to actually protect them from what they're in danger of, not fear-mongering or kind of just a media narrative that's actually to protect people in power, not to actually protect young boys.
It's kind of interesting what's going on. I have such a hard time wrapping my mind around it. Like, I'm just thinking of this Yoka shooting. You know, I'm thinking of the hatred that is in this person, and I'm thinking, what is it? I think the biggest question we need to ask right now, in my mind, along with the training what you're doing, is also to ask the question, what is creating that? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the influences that are coming into these young people's lives where that hatred is built up? I mean, I realize, you know, all of a sudden I've been hearing on the radio that white young men think that women are supposed to give in to them and do what, you know, and that, I think, is what you're talking about, is consent. Mm-hmm. You know, how about you, Caitlin? Talk a little bit more about what is it, consent? What do you mean when you talk about consent?
For me, it's talking about informed and enthusiastic agreement from both parties, and it's not a one-time thing. Like, you should be continually checking in and talking to your partner, just like you should be continually checking in and talking to any partner in any relationship. Like, if a business is contracting with another business, it's not like they just sign a contract and work together for 10 years and never check in with each other, right? It's like, oh, we're not going to check in on this contract in 10 years. No, any relationship is about communication and working together. And when something's not working for one person, that means it's not working for either of you.
Well, Zach, looking at young boys, for example, how do you explain consent to them? I mean, how is that come across? I mean, what do you say?
Well, I think that, especially, you know, Caitlin was talking about at a really young age, talking about boundaries and showing children respect for their boundaries, it helps, and for boys and girls. And I do think you're talking about that shooting that just happened in Tallahassee. You know, we keep seeing these examples of men who are engaged, consuming, and putting out a lot of violent rhetoric online, and then end up being violent in public. And I think that people who are concerned about that need to look at the way we start treating young boys at a really young age. You know, even well-meaning people, to be masculine.
How young?
When a boy is 1 and 2, they're already told, don't cry. Mm-hmm. Be tough. Right? The only emotion that they're allowed to show is anger. Right, they get that script really young. And then you think about it, they get older and they're in relationships. Inevitably, there's disappointments, there's heartache, there's rejection. How are they supposed to respond to that? The only emotion they have to response is rage. So you teach these young boys to never cry. Weakness is bad. Don't be sad ever. Just be angry. You're teaching them to eventually hate women.
You know, it's so interesting that you say that. I go back to my grandson when he was about 6.5 years old. He came over, I was babysitting, and he had a cut on his knee. I mean, it was gushing. Yeah. And I said, Ryan, what happened, you know? And so he says, well, I fell and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I had to change the dressing. And I could tell in his eyes. I says, Ryan, why are you okay? It looks like you want to cry. No, Gamma, big boys don't cry. I says, well, big boys cry in Grandma's house. And he just... boom. I mean, it was like this flood of tears came out. And that was my first awareness of that. And also something that you said, Caitlin, too. Like, when a child comes up and you want to say, give me a high five or give me a hug, you know, usually the parents say, don't you want to give Aunt so-and-so a hug? You know, you don't allow them their individuality and that they don't get that lesson in what consent is. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you're talking about.
Exactly. And then they're scared of that one adult that they always have to hug. I think all of my friends have that one, like, aunt or grandma or grandpa that they have to hug that they don't want to hug. And it's not necessarily anything sexual or bad, but when you've been told you have to do this, even though you don't want to because someone else wants it to, that puts a message on you for the rest of your life. It's like, oh, I don't really want to have sex with this person, but they want to, so that's what matters.
Well, let me ask you, Caitlin, mm-hmm. who is more important to talk to, the male or the female? I mean, the girls or the boys? Who do you think is more important, or is it equal?
It's everybody. It's people of all genders, because anyone can be a perpetrator, anyone can be violated, and so it's really just examining power dynamics and how do we express that to our kids at all sorts of different ages, and how do we make sure that younger teens know their rights as they start to explore their sexuality. Like, no one at Verity is here to criminalize consensual sexual activity, but we want to make sure that kids know what they're doing and know that they have an adult that they can go to in their life, because that makes all the difference. Usually in an abusive relationship, there are warning signs, and so adults in teens' lives need to know what the warning signs are and be able to help these kids who are navigating the world for the first time.
You want to give an example, either one of you, on what one or two warning signs might be?
If a teen is usually really, is a teenager that actually practices hygiene. I know that's not all teenagers, but suddenly stops and lets themselves go, kind of. That's a sign that something's going on. Or if they have a partner that always takes their phone or takes their social media, needs to know their social media passwords, that's a huge red flag for some sort of abusive relationship.
Well, it's a huge subject, you know. It comes down to two things, it sounds to me: not to have fear and to be willing to communicate. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important. Well, you've done a workshop in Petaluma already, mm-hmm. and you said that a lot of parents came out. Well, what was some of the feedback you got? You want to answer that, either one of you? Well, how about you, Zach? What was some of the feedback you got?
I think the parents were concerned, and they felt a little overwhelmed. Some of the parents had already been dealing with the after effects of sexual abuse in their children's lives and had a lot to process, because it comes at you from so many different directions. You know, the people that hadn't supported them, the systems that hadn't worked for them, just trying to figure out, what am I supposed to do in a world where my innocent child wasn't protected and I have to live with them being wounded? You know, you think that there's this kind of just wanting to tear your hair out at that. You know, you could see this like simmering rage because there's not sufficient methods to take action. You know, for your kids, you need to do what you have to do to protect them. And when parents can't, it just feels like a betrayal, you know. And so they need support, you know. And I think that there are all these questions people might have about how people are told to practice consent. You know, what are the rules for punishing people that don't, right? And so many of the concerns from like people that I might consider on the other side of the issue, for me, I would still say, if you look at your concerns, what you're really asking for is the system to work better, right? And so we actually agree on that. Mm-hmm. You know, what we both want from what we're saying is to support people being able to come forward if they were the victim of some kind of abuse. You know, and I think that everybody can do that. You know, anybody, students, parents, grandparents, can go to their school and say, I want my kids to be talked to about preventing violence.
Well, I have to say this, that the both of you are doing it. So let's talk about that workshop that's happening, and give the information and give the website. We're coming to the very end of our segment. And I have to say this, I just think it is absolutely, when the email came across my desk, I immediately called Caitlin. I says, yes. And then when she wrote me the email of the two of you coming on, I was thrilled beyond. The timing could not be more perfect than right now. So thank you both. So tell us, let's talk, why don't you talk about the workshop, Caitlin, and give us your website and all that other good information.
Absolutely. So the workshop will be at the Central Santa Rosa Library on the corner of 3rd and E, I believe. I forget the exact address. And we'll be talking about all these different topics. It'll really be based on who shows up and what they want to talk about. It's really more of a group kind of dialogue and discussion than like a PowerPoint lecture Socratic presentation. And that will be on November 12th, which is a week from today, so it'll be Monday evening. Do you remember what time it's at?
It's from 7 to 8:30, mm-hmm. and it's free, and parents of children of any ages, you know, any caretaker, or even, you know, if you had, you know, like a high school kid who wanted to come, you know, we'd be talking about things where it wouldn't be appropriate to bring your, like, young child, but...
So high school age, they're welcome to come.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. And it's going to be great. You can get more info at www.ourverity.org. That's O-U-R-V-E-R-I-T-Y. And you can find Verity on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram as well. And you can always call us or you can call our crisis line if you ever need to talk about sexual violence, or if you don't know who else to talk to, you can call 707-545-7273. And you'll get connected to one of our amazing, amazing advocates or volunteers.
And just to let you know that we will also be posting it on Women's Spaces at www.womenspaces. And I love your flyer.
You have a really
nice flyer, nice and blue.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
So thank you so much. Any last words from either one of you? Or both of you? Just anything you'd like to say.
I think one of the hardest things to deal with in life is recognizing real problems and feeling stressed about them and not having anything to do. So we should all be very grateful that we can go vote tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Vote today, vote tomorrow. Yeah. You know, support people. Vote for Caitlin.
Yeah, if you live in Petaluma, please consider voting for me for school board so we can end sexual violence in Petaluma City Schools.
Well, remember, we are a nonprofit station. We cannot support political. Yep. The opinions expressed here are not the opinions of KBBF.
Yep.
So, but it's okay. As long as we qualify that.
Perfect.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being here on Women's Spaces, and I had no idea that now you're politically involved. That's very interesting. And thank you for sharing that. And again, another young woman stepping up to the plate. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to acknowledge that, not hate each other, appreciate each other. You know, I mean, for myself, I can't fathom what it's like to be a politician in today's world. So it's very, very interesting. Well, I want to thank you so much, Caitlin Quinn and Zach Neely, for being here on Women's Spaces. And I want to wish you much success with this workshop. And like I'm going to repeat one more time, it is on www.womenspaces.com. And Caitlin, give that website one more time.
www.ourverity.org.
Well, thank you so much, both of you.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Well, we're going to take another musical break. Boy, that's a lot. I'll tell you, that's a lot to chew on, you know, but we're doing something. You know, instead of saying, oh, the world is so horrible and there's nothing we can do, acknowledge the fact that there are people out there that are stepping up to the plate and saying, we want to help. This is important. We want to talk about it because once you start talking and understanding things, things do get better. You'd be surprised. Anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and this is another song. It's by Jacqueline Sharp. It's No More War. And the reason that I chose that is because when I come back, we're going to be talking with Georgia Kelly about effective communication and conflict management skills. Wars are never going to end until we all sit down and start talking about it. And the first step is to recognize they don't work. Because if wars worked, we would have ended them a long time ago. But they don't work, so we have to figure another way. And I believe the way is communication. Talking to one another, getting to know one another, not being afraid of each other. So let's go ahead and listen to No More War, sung by Jacqueline Sharp. And when I will be back, I will be talking with Georgia Kelly from the Practice Institute.
No more war, war never again. No more war, war never again. When Pope Paul came across the sea, he brought this message for you and
I can say, if only, no more war. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And with me on the phone is Georgia Kelly, director and founder of the Praxis Center in Sonoma, California. Georgia, welcome. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you, Elaine. It's great to be back with you.
Oh, my God. You know, Georgia and I go back a long time. I remember when Georgia first came, I don't know if you remember this, when I was working with Living Earthcraft, and we first put your albums on that beautiful harp music. I remember selling it to the spas. And it just was amazing. So it's amazing that you're doing this kind of work. So can I tell our listeners just a little bit about you?
Of course.
You know, Georgia has a certificate in Georgia Kelly has a certificate in conflict resolution from Sonoma State University and has continued studies in the field with cultural anthropologist Angelus Arian and Norwegian peace negotiator Johannes Galdrung. She has been deeply influenced by the inspiring work and writings of Johan Fernandez, director of the Department of Coexistence and Human Rights in the Basque Parliament in Spain. She is a member of Transcend International, a peace development environmental network, and she is also founder and executive director of Praxis Institute in Sonoma. Is there anything you'd like to add, Georgia?
Well, I think you covered everything in relationship to my work in peace studies and conflict resolution. And, of course, some people may not know that my previous career was as a musician. And it led to this. I've always been interested in peace, I think, ever since the Vietnam War, which really woke me up, as it did many others.
Well, how did you get so deeply involved with conflict resolution, and why do you think that's so important? Like, did you hear the song "No More War"? And then
what I introduced is,
I said, if we would just sit down and start communicating and ending some of these conflicts, we might make some progress. So, talk a little bit how you feel that the issues that you talk about are related to having peace in the world.
Well, I think, you know, one of the big problems is pride. People don't want to be seen as giving in. And I think this is truer of men than women, but it's true of everyone to some extent. So I think we're dealing with cultural directives that have to be overcome. And that's what I've learned over the years, is it's not just about what we learn personally. It's also what the culture is reinforcing. So we have to work, I think, both on the personal level and the cultural political level to change the discourse, because as we see today, the discourse is horrendous.
Well, what do you think the culture is pushing at this time? I mean, how would you define it?
Well, I think the culture in America is different than the culture in other countries. Having, you know, I go to Spain every year, and I go to the Basque Parliament where we have a session with the Department of Coexistence and Human Rights, and we see how that culture supports ethical relationships with people communicating. And to go back to what your original question was about communication, this is probably the biggest problem we have, and why wars develop and why they happen. They happen out of kind of emotional reaction and economic interest. It's like the economic interest may be pushing, and the propaganda is all to get the emotional reaction from the people to support it. And they seem to work together very well. Historically, we see that over and over again. So if people learn to communicate properly, and I'd like to see this happen in elementary school from at least kindergarten on, where children are taught how to communicate what's going on with them, and to get over this pride that seems to be part of our demise, really. It's pride that prevents us from communicating, and we're so afraid of appearing weak or giving in. And this is something we have to overcome on a personal level and on a cultural level.
Well, what do you think the message was? You know, the thing that I had to scratch my head is when we pulled out of the Human Rights Commission on the United Nations. Mm. What kind of influence do you think that had? I mean, there's so much, it feels like the country is being consumed with hate of late. I mean, we just had this horrible shooting in Florida. I mean, it's just such a complex issues that seem to be going on. What do you think is influencing all that right now?
Well, I certainly think politically we have a government that is bullying, uses very mean and violent rhetoric, and it activates that segment of the society that has just been waiting for that type of leadership to give them permission to act on it. And I think that's where a lot of the violence is coming from. I can't say it's all coming from that because it started before Trump was in power. So it's just accelerated since he's been in power and since people who think like that are in positions of power in the Congress and the Senate. So I think it goes back before that, but it's been activated and given permission. And that's what's really been dangerous about the last 2 years, is the permission that the angry mob seems to feel in doing whatever they want. You know, attacking people, shooting people, attacking people in peaceful demonstrations. There's been a permission that's given to them from our president, basically. And I think we have to look at that and see how that has accelerated the violence in our country. Well, and as far as pulling out of the UN, I don't know that that has a great impact on people in America. I think it shows the world what our country is doing, and that's very dangerous. And I think it's gives the wrong signals to the rest of the world, for sure. I don't know that it affects people in our country so much. Anyway, that's my thought on that.
No, it's just a curious question, you know. And you have this workshop coming up this Saturday. Actually, it's called Effective Communication and Conflict Management Skills. And I was talking to a few people about this, and the question that they had, and also one of your questions is what is, when you have these workshops, what's the difference between, say, conflict resolution and management versus therapy? How do you see the difference? I mean, when people come, of course, you have to learn how to make certain changes in yourself, I would imagine. But it's not really therapy, it's learning to...
Right. This is something I always explain at the beginning of every workshop, that conflict resolution skills are, it's not therapy. And probably one of the main differences is, in therapy, you know, you're looking for reasons why you behave a certain way. You're going back in time and seeing what happened in your childhood, what traumatic things may have happened in your work life and your relationships and how they've impacted your behavior. In conflict resolution, we're not dealing with your past at all. We're not dealing with how you got to where you are. We're dealing with how you're going to change right now and what the skills are you need to make those changes. A therapist will do another part of that work, and that's not conflict resolution part. That's not our part. We're not trained in therapy, and we don't do that. So I think it's a very important distinction to be made. I think in every workshop I've done, people have expected therapy out of it, and therapy is not part of it. It's really dealing with us right now. We're adults. We can take responsibility for our lives. Here are the skills we need to start making some changes that will help the way we relate to other people and how we see the world with other people.
Well, you know, what I find is interesting, if people are concerned, like maybe they think they need therapy or they get confused about it, one of the things that happen when you start learning the skills, you begin to see some of your own limitations that you have to move out of. So in a way, it helps you to evolve, but that is not the focus. The focus is mainly skill-centered, and I hear that's what you're saying.
It's skill-centered and dealing with you where you are right now. And it's not going to look at your past. It's not going to dig up relationships in the past. It's going to just look at, okay, here's your behavior patterns. You see what they are. And here are the skills you need that will change some of those patterns and how you start doing that. And that's very important, and some of the things that may be important for people to learn, and especially for women, are how to set boundaries. It's really important for women to learn that. I think men are much better at setting boundaries than women. And so that's one thing I always bring out in the workshop is how we set boundaries in our relationships and our communications that protect our emotional well-being.
Talk a little bit about boundaries. You know, I looked at your flyer, and one of the things you talked about is that there is a difference, you know, that you're talking about boundaries and reframing. What do you mean by that? What would you be an example of a boundary, and what would be an example of reframing?
Well, I think there are two different things. Let me do the reframing first, because the reframing means that they're related in a certain way. Instead of saying, you always do such and such, and this is why I'm mad, it's it's taking that sentence and changing the way it's framed. Instead of an attack, you always, which is the attack, you bring it back and say, you know, I'm feeling really hurt. I'm feeling disempowered. I'm feeling unseen. And how can we change that in the way we're communicating? That's a reframing. And it opens the other person up to answer a question rather than to respond with an attack. And so it brings out a very different response. So that's reframing. And boundary setting is to know what your limits are and what you should tolerate from another person. You should never tolerate being bullied. And, you know, I think it's very important to understand that if you're being bullied emotionally. Often people don't really understand when they're being bullied emotionally if they're not being struck physically. But being bullied emotionally is a very disempowering and I would say it's a very difficult, not only difficult to process, but it's very hurtful to the individual psychologically and emotionally. So knowing what your boundaries are, what kind of behavior and language you will not tolerate in your life. You know, that you'll say, this doesn't work in my life. This person, unless we can work something out, it doesn't belong in my life. And that kind of leads to one of the last points that I make in the workshop is not all conflicts can be resolved. And I think that's important to know. And it's important to know and to be able to identify the situations that we need to let go of. And some of those would be non-communicators can't resolve conflicts. So if you're in a relationship or in a dialogue with a non-communicator, a person who stonewalls you, you can't resolve a conflict with that person. And it's very important to understand that and not keep, the old saying goes, beat the dead horse. You're not going to get anything out of that. And I think it's important to understand those kinds of boundaries, too, where conflicts can't be resolved, at least in that time, that moment in time. They change later. So it's important, I think, to be open to that. But non-communicators or aggressive people, often you cannot resolve a conflict with. And you know, there's kind of the New Age idea that you should be able to resolve every conflict, but that's not real.
Well, you know, you know, it sounds like it's just a wealth of information. So we're coming to the end of the segment. So let's talk a little bit about that wonderful workshop. It's happening Saturday, November 10th from 12 to 5. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. That's going to be held in Sonoma. And it is this coming Saturday, November 10th from 12 to 5 at the Sonoma Community Center. And probably the best place to get tickets would be at this point through Praxis Peace Institute through our website, which is www.praxispeace.org, praxispeace.org, and go on our events page and you can click there and register. The deadline for registration for this workshop is Wednesday at 5 p.m. So please, if you're interested, register before 5 p.m. on Wednesday. We're covering a lot of the things that we just spoke about, how to communicate effectively, building skills, how to active listening, hearing the other person's perspective, and how to overcome the fear and avoidance of conflict, which often leads to passive-aggressive behavior in the other person. We'll also talk about dealing with difficult people, their assumptions, biases, and projections, and a lot more.
Well, like I always tell my listeners, that all the information will be on the website, www.womenspaces.com. And Georgia Kelly, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for doing this workshop and also for being on Women's Spaces. And just the work you're doing is marvelous. And thank you so much.
Well, the same to you. Thank you, Elaine.
And good luck. And I really look forward to hearing some of the outcome. You know, hopefully we can talk a little bit more about it. And thank you again.
That would be great.
Thank you again, Georgia Kelly from Praxis Institute, for being a guest. And also to remind you that there's going to be a workshop in Sonoma at the Sonoma Community Room Center, room 203 on Napa Street in Sonoma County. And that's going to be happening November 10th from 12 to 5. And go ahead and look on our website, www.womenspaces, and we'll have all the information. Wow, what a show! What a show. That's it for our show. Special thank you to Caitlin Quinn and Zach Neely from Verity Rape Crisis Center. And, of course, Georgia Kelly, director of the Praxis Center in Sonoma County, for being such wonderful guests. All the information will be on our website. So, you know, folks, just go to www.womenspaces.com. And please go to www.kbbf.org and become a sustaining member. All you have to do is go on the website, look at donations, and boom, all the information is there for you. A reminder, tell your friends that Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening. I'm so excited I get to listen to my own show. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements. If you have any birthdays, anniversaries you'd like to have on the air, please do not hesitate to email me. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Oh, the woman in your life, she can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, November 5th, 2018.